step right up there and get a good knowledge and understanding of this.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is it recording?
It is recording. Even Jack's prayer. Okay, so we were looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So this is the way the Holy Spirit makes his presence known to us. Some of the ways through these gifts. So, to one that is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. The word of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, which is what we, for some of us, had a revision on over the other two sessions, and for others of us perhaps beginning to get our feet into the water, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, just before we wait for some of you to arrive, I'll tell these good folks here, just thinking about distinguishing between spirits. A number of years ago, when we were living in community, a large house in Whitby, and a young man here, at that time, was about 3 years old. Not here, here in the house, namely Mark. And we were moving, doing a fair bit of deliverance in personal prayer and prayer ministry and so on at the time. So inevitably Mark obviously caught a lot of the spillover of what was being prayed and all the rest of it. So I remember looking out the window of this house, I was upstairs, looked out the window of this house, and there was Mark on his bike with stabilizer wheels. And he was pedaling like mad but going nowhere because the stabilizer wheels were straddled in a pothole. So the back wheel wasn't touching the ground, so he was pedaling like crazy and it was just going nowhere. So I thought, okay, I'd better go downstairs and get him out of the pothole. So I go down, as I come up behind him, I hear this little voice going, "Bike, go in the name of Jesus! Bike, go in the name of Jesus!" So as I came up behind him, I gave it a little push, and he shot up the drive, and I don't know to this day whether he thinks it was me or an answer to prayer, but it worked anyway. So, but as I was just looking at this slide earlier on, let's just looking at this aspect here of tongues. I'm going to ask Mary, I forgot to tell her. But tell them the story of what happened in Pune.
Oh, wow. Now, one of the gifts of the Spirit is speaking in tongues, and that we can all speak in tongues, but there sometimes in a meeting, somebody would speak in a tongue, if you don't, that's a different language. And it's a spiritual gift, so you don't know what you're saying. And then within the meeting, somebody or maybe a few will just get a feeling of the interpretation. It's not translation, the interpretation. So we were in Pune, which is in India, up in the hills. And we got there and we were doing a seminar up in the hills. And of course it was all Indians there, there was other different nationalities there. And Jeff did exactly what he just told me to do, apart from he said, come out and you speak in tongues, and let's see what the feel of everybody, about 100 people there, the feel of everybody, and see what you've been saying. So I said, oh great, thanks. You know, so I got out, we all prayed, and I spoke out in tongues. And then I just sat down, because I had no clue what I was saying, but I knew the tongue was different to what I'd spoken in before. And so just said, right, what do we feel about it? And a lot of people said, well, actually, I just got a sense of the majesty and the glory of God. And they went on to talk about the splendor of God. And I thought, oh, that's great. And I sat down, and we moved on in what we were doing. And then came the coffee break. And one guy came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and he said to me, "Excuse me, madam," he said, "but when did you learn Persian?" And I said, "Persian?" I said, "I'm terrible at languages. I thought it was French, and I live near France." And he said, "Well," he said, "I've checked with my friend over there, and you were speaking in Persian." And I said, "Wow, was I?" And of course, the next question,
"What was I saying?"
"What was I saying?" And he said, "Oh, you were talking about the majesty and the wonder of the living God." And so I said, "Oh, right, thanks very much." And I thought, "Ooh." And then I took that and I said, "You know, could you tell me some of your story?" And so this guy said, "Oh," he said, "I'm a Muslim." He said, I've come from Iran, and I've come to Pune to learn computing, because I had a choice to do it in English in Pune or going to Norway." He said, "I thought English was easier. So I've come to Pune. I've only been in Pune a few weeks. We were walking, me and my friend, and a group of people were singing in the street and walking around, and we stopped and listened, and a guy came and talked to us. And he said, "Oh, we're going on a camp up into the hills with all our friends, we're Christians. Would you like to join us?" He said, they said, "Why not?" So off they go, they were up in this camp, so there they are sitting there, Muslims. And then suddenly I realised, I thought, how amazing that the living God would send somebody from Iran to Pune up to a hill station with a load of Christians that they didn't know, and then God speaks to them in their own language. Mm. What sort of a God have we got? Mm. I thought this was just totally and utterly amazing. And I mean, it's a while since I've even thought about that story, but it's again, you know, that God loves us. He wants to speak to us. And when I saw him the next morning at breakfast, these guys, I said, "How are you guys?" And they looked at me and they said, "Thank you, madam, we now know there's a living God and a God that speaks to us."
So you never know what God's doing. And, you know, in this case, obviously, you knew the outcome of it. But sometimes we say things, or we're doing things, or we pray things, and we never know the outcome of it. Just because we don't know the outcome doesn't mean nothing's happening. And so I think this is a part of just moving in faith and in response to what the Spirit wants us to do. So there's these nine gifts of the Spirit, as Pope Paul said. This is the sort of thing the Holy Spirit does. And if we had time, which we don't this weekend, it'd be great to be able to go through each one of these in a lot more detail and just begin to get used to using each one of these gifts. But we started with prophecy because it's probably one of the easiest places to start. So we've talked about four keys. First one, desire. And the second one,
death.
And the third one, and the fourth one,
question.
And the fourth one is develop. So we talked about earnestly desire, really want to. You know that beatitude, you know on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had the beatitude, "Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are." There was one that didn't make it. "Blessed are those who hope for nothing, for they shall not be disappointed." If we don't earnestly desire to move in the gifts of the Spirit, we're not going to move in the gifts of the Spirit. There's something required by us to take some initiative, respond to the Word of God, and say, "God, I want you to use me." You've got to use someone here, might as well be me. So we saw that in 1 Corinthians 12:31 it says, "Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts." 1 Corinthians 14:1, "Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." 1 Corinthians 14:39, "Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts." So three times in three chapters we've got this exhortation from Paul to really want to do that. So that's our starting point. The second one was to dare. Romans 12 talks about exercising gifts in proportion to our faith. So we've all got a measure of faith, let's use it. And we need to step out, take a risk. John Wimber's phrase, faith is a four-letter word spelled R-I-S-K. It's a risk aspect. We might not get it completely right. Fine, we've made a mistake before, another one won't hurt. Discern. So 1 Corinthians 14:29 says that when something is given, and the context of this was particularly a prophetic word, the other should weigh carefully what is said. And we talked yesterday that our major plumb line is weighing things against the word of God. Is this the sort of thing that Jesus would say? Does it line up with scripture? And so we don't just take things wholesale, but we're called to be discerning. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we all prophesy in part, we all see in part, we all know in part. So we haven't got 100% perfect, we're not going to hear 100% perfectly from God, but we share what we've got, then we want to weigh it against scripture and say, what was God? What did we have here? And so we come on to our fourth key, develop, and this is Jack and Cameron first thing in the morning. Faith is like a muscle system. The more we use it, the stronger we grow. And as we exercise faith in moving in spiritual gifts, the more we use it, the more we'll grow in it. So we start off at one level, but we grow in faith, we grow in confidence, we grow in knowing how God speaks to us, so we recognize his voice, and so we can grow in a greater depth of moving in these gifts. So we don't come in at, degree level in the spiritual gifts, we come in as a kindergarten. But as we keep using these things, we grow in them, and God is able to use us more and more. So some of the ways we can develop these gifts is reading the Bible. Get to know what God says. Understand more of his ways. In prayer, obviously, talking to him. I was reading something the other day, and this person said, isn't it interesting, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, not teach us how to pray. Yeah, teach us how to pray. It's a modern do-it-yourself manual, self-improvement. I want a method. What do I do? What are the steps to perfect prayer or something? But it was teach us how to pray. Teach us how to talk to God. How to converse with him. But so obviously, again, as we pray, communicate with God, wherever we are, whenever, we grow in hearing his voice. And worship, I think, is an important part of this as well. Growing in a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, as we spend time in worship, we get to sense God's presence and how God makes himself known to us. Step out, which is the dare thing again. Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those, but not exclusively to those who belong to the family of believers. There's the opportunity to do good to people. It might be practical service, but it might be, as we mentioned yesterday, reaching out and saying, God, have you got a gift from yourself that I can pass on to whoever it is before us? You know, we might be at the checkout at Sainsbury's or Lidl or wherever you shop. So we had a Lidl and Aldi conversation over breakfast. And Tesco, but they were sort of got that. But you're at the checkout. Somebody's standing there, or the person who's doing the cashier. Is that something you want me to say to them? I have to say, I'm not very good at doing this. But I like the idea. But I know some folks who do this and some people go, oh, just God say to me, and they just slip in a little word in the conversation, just to say, can we just stop and pray a moment? I feel God's giving me a word for you. And you just slip it into the conversation. But you can communicate something of God's heart, so we do good to all people, stepping out and taking a chance.
be around movers. If you want to move more in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then be around those who move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Get them to pray for them, talk with them. Catch something more of what they've got out of their experience of God. Read the stories of people who move in faith. Now I just randomly picked these three covers there. So you've got Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, Reinhard Bonnke, and you could add in a load of other names. But if we read their stories of how God worked with them or worked with them, it can help to encourage our faith and a provocation to just keep growing in God. And be careful who you listen to or what you listen to. So if this is our house, this is our life, this house, we've got lots of different rooms in our lives and so on, but there's a bit of a fight between the fanatic in the attic and the fella in the cellar. So the fanatic in the attic is often where our mind, I don't know what your mind does, I get some crazy thoughts sometimes. Where did that come from? A friend of ours talks about the enemy can use the playground of our mind. You know, we get some thought, it goes whizzing round and round and round, and it's sometime a while before we sort of take that thought captive to Christ. But our minds can do crazy things. Whereas the feather in the cellar, what's the Spirit saying? What are we sensing in our spirit? And sometimes we tend to listen more to the crazy thoughts, which can be very influenced by the last film we saw, or book we read, or conversation we had, or song we heard, as opposed to what is it that the Holy Spirit is saying to our spirit. And it's learning to somehow keep our thinking in check and bring it under obedience to the Spirit of God. And all that matters is that you get up more times than you fall. Because we'll make mistakes. I had an embarrassing situation a number of years ago. I felt I got this word of knowledge in meeting for someone with a bad back. And I said, there's someone here with a bad back. God wants to heal you. So this person comes forward, who I knew quite well. So we're going to do this in a moment, but we've been praying a lot for people with lower back pain. And often when there's lower back pain, sometimes it's because the bones are out of place or the pelvis is tilted or whatever else. And so one leg appears to be shorter than the other. So I said, look, no, I went through this palaver. This great spirit. I said, so sit down and we're measuring your legs. This is right in the middle of 100 people. And they're the same length. I thought, oh no. Why did we do that? And then in a loud voice this guy said, oh no, he said, I'm really pain in my back. He said, I've just got boils and spots all over my back. Oh dear me. Embarrassment. Because I jumped ahead, I got one word and made a whole load of assumptions. You know, and I thought there's quite a lesson here that when we're moving these things, we just need to give what God's given us and not to let the fella in the fanatic in the attic run away with things, but obey what the Spirit of God's saying. So it was a very embarrassing time, which I think I've got over now, which is why I feel free to share it. There's a verse in James that is one of my favourite verses in the whole Bible. Brothers, we all make many mistakes. I think that's really comforting. That's in the Word of God. God put it there. So when we make a mistake, it's no surprise to him. The question is, what are we going to do with the mistakes we make or the failures we make? And what God wants us to do is to learn from them so that we can move on again. So, desire, dare, discern, develop. God wants us to grow in these things, not just to be stuck at one particular level, but to keep growing and growing and growing in things. So, we? These are practical. So just on this back issue, is there anybody with any back pain?
Lower back.
Have you got your problem with the lower back? Would you like to be a little guinea pig?
I like that word, guinea pig. I hear that a lot.
See, God's concerned with the whole person. I think we're probably all well aware of that. Not just with our spirit, but our minds, our souls, our bodies, our whole being. Do you
mind?
Okay.
Well,
so did you mention, we do have a physiotherapist here.
No, I can't. That could be a problem rather than anything.
But sometimes, maybe we've had an accident or a jolt or something, and things get knocked out of line, and then it appears that one leg is a bit shorter than the other. But really, that's probably just given an indication of where the bone alignment is.
We've got about half an inch here that's different. The left leg is about half an inch longer than the right leg. So we're just going to pray, and if you would like to come and see, just to, you know, if anybody wants to see what God will do, then let's do, just stand up. I mean, we're just all in this together, you know, and so we do stand up and have a look if you want to, because I am sure, can you manage that? Is that comfortable, or are you alright? Okay. Father, we thank you, and we just ask you in Jesus' name that you would come and you would rejig this back in Jesus' name.
Okay.
You would rejig it in the name of Jesus. And Father, you would bring strength and health and bring alignment in the name and power of Jesus Christ. Back, do it in Jesus' name. Right, would anybody like to look?
Well, it's perfect, mate. Perfect.
Did you feel it go? Not really. I didn't feel that one go at all. But it's perfect now, isn't it? And that can you just put your legs down? That's fine.
Do you know why you got the back pain? Was it damaged in some way?
It's surgery. Got similar to what my dad's got.
Okay. That's how you find out. Well, I'm just going to say thank you. I don't know what God's doing, and I don't know to the whole story, but I do know that's that mood, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I would say, you know, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you're doing something fresh with Carol's back, Lord God, and that you are beginning to heal it in a new and fresh way. If there's any hereditary stuff here,
yeah.
Father, I just release her from that. She's a child of God in her own right, and any hereditary stuff, I release her. I release her from it in Jesus' name, and that you would continue with the healing power to this back, that it may get stronger. Back, I'm just speaking to you, become strong in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you heard? It's quite interesting what God does with that, because they are really quite important to us, because everything comes from it, and it's the most thing that goes to the doctors for. I don't know what I mean, because it's some, you know, they go out of line quite easily. And so if anybody else would like to come and just measure their legs and just see if there's any, some one other person. Emily, do you want to come?
Yeah.
Come on, Emily. Just sit back there.
So sit back to the
face. Yeah, basically it's fine, right on there. Right, so we just have to do it carefully. We're just lifting it up. And there's a little bit of difference. Can you see it? Yeah? There's a little bit of difference there. If anybody wants to see this, you know, don't
I mean, do take our word for it, but ask you can be if you're the, because I want to ask God to do it for us, to, it's like, Lord God, I just speak to this back, it's clearly out of line, Lord, would you put it into line in Jesus' name? Would you put it into line in Jesus' name? And for Emily's back, that it would be brought right into line in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I felt that go, actually. I felt just sort of I saw it moving. I know this, it's not, we're not using this as a party piece or anything. All we want to show you is that God really does want to move and change things. And so We have got the chairs, haven't we? I mean, does anybody else want to come and have a look
at
that? You feel
better, you think these chairs are probably okay, aren't
they? Okay, thanks. Excellent, Emily. I mean, somebody could come and try mine, because, I mean, my back's not brilliant. I prayed for it a lot. I don't have any particular trouble.
Well then, Mary, I'm going to pray for
you. Yeah, come on then. You just need to keep your shoes on, you don't need any, or, you know, whatever you've got. It might be, it might not be. So I'm sitting back. Yeah, I'm just going to test. Well, you might try. Oh, I think they're probably level, aren't they?
That's fairly level.
Yeah, but I think because these shoes are, I mean, normally it's fine with shoes, but these are all. Right, here we go.
Right back.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Actually, it's like Jesus. It's like
Roger, Cole and Jeff and I come out of the same stable.
Understand that, you know, we've all been...
So, I'm going to ask you to do this, watch me, I'm going to ask you to do this. Just to keep your shoulders down and bring your hands out together, like that. But up against the wall.
I'm just showing you an example.
Okay.
Because what you've got pain in your neck.
Very pain in the neck sometimes is just unbearable. I mean, I do exercise, yeah. it helps only for a short time and then it's weekend. And it cracks, so probably sometimes with the name it cracks badly.
Okay.
The bones on the neck.
Okay, so let's just have your hands out. You just bring them together. Okay, fine. You really have got quite a large difference
here in the right, who's going to pray? Come on. Jesus' name, just ask that you would release this pain from Ollie's neck. Lord, move it, life and growth, straighten these arms up in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And just pain be gone.
Amen. How are we doing?
Yeah, I think we're there. We've got a little bit. This one's gone longer than the other one. Keep going. Keep going.
Thank you, God, for your healing, Lord, for your healing that we receive by the blood of Jesus, Lord.
Yes.
And we pray for wholeness and healing in the name of Jesus.
Across
her shoulders, Lord, released from pain, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Bring release. Bring release. Okay, that's it.
Ah, this one's
going
out longer and longer, that's fine.
It
looks
perfect
from here.
No, yes, it does, because it's half, you know, that's fine. A few weeks after that, we'll just let it go, and we'll just keep it there. This has been a problem since she's been a teenager. We're not talking about, you know, if we're going to keep praying, then that's fine.
Yeah.
No problem at all. Now, all of us, you know, we're all praying, and just keep going.
Just bring release. Bring release.
Thank you, Lord, for what you've done already in our years back, Lord, into her neck, Lord, and we ask for continued release, Lord, and freedom from pain, Lord, and life and wholeness
release
in her body, Lord. Thank you.
Your deep old infirmity.
Yes.
In his upper spine.
Yes.
Jesus,
yes.
The old infirmity.
Yes,
Jesus. Maybe a long standing condition.
Yes.
But we command this decision back. Bow in the knee to the living God.
Yes.
The authority of the name of Jesus. All infirmity is gone. In Jesus' name. You speak mobility. Suppleness.
Yes.
Into the vertebrae and discs, muscles and ligaments and all the rest of it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask. In Jesus' name, restore his spine to the divine blueprint.
Yeah.
The way you designed it to be and to function. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Right, let's just put it down. Now, let's put the shoulders back. My hands out. No, let me stay. Right. Well,
I think that's pretty good.
we're talking.
Quite long grounds.
Just bend your elbows and see yourself. That's what it was. I tell you, that was a good half an inch, wasn't it?
Even more.
A good half an inch. Okay, so let's play with you all. From my perspective, keep on with your exercise. You know, there's lots of things we do, we get, you know, to move and just to ask God to do things. We don't do it, God does. So we don't need to panic, we don't need to sort of get, come on, do something, Lord. We just need to just keep asking God to do it. As I say, we've on medical things, you know, I think we if we don't get sorted, we keep going back to the doctor, which is great, that's what we do. But we sometimes even pray, and then we never keep praying. But we'll keep going back to the doctor. And so it's, we keep going back to the doctor by all means, but let's keep going back to God all the time, and keep giving it to God, you know. So that, I mean, we pray every day, we do, for Ruben. You know, that when this plaster comes off, we're going to get it. You know, we're going to get it sorted. It doesn't stop us praying because he's stuck in the plaster and think. It just, we keep praying because God wants to keep coming and doing it. Now, I don't know why we don't see everything, but then we aren't Jesus. But we are taking ground as we keep moving and we keep pushing into God.
We have a young lady in our, one of our churches, she's a medical student, she went off to the States on holiday and played some wild game of volleyball and ended up damaging both her knees very severely. And the medical prediction, if you like, was that she would need calipers on both knees and need operations on them. So she came back home and she said, would you as elders anoint me with oil and pray for me? Yeah, but yeah, sure. But so we did that, and I said, look, I just feel that you need to just keep asking, and we'll keep praying. You know, sometimes God does that.
And yeah, sometimes kind of
external sort of frame to give support to it. So, sometimes God does that when we pray, and sometimes He does that. But a lot of those make one of those. And so we said, Catherine, if you keep asking, we'll keep praying, but I feel it's important that you do the asking. And so she would keep coming and say, would you pray? And every time we prayed, there was a little bit of improvement. And I don't know how long it was over a period of months that these legs went from a prediction of needing a lot of surgery or external support to being perfectly okay. So the real test for her was when she managed to ride her bike up Headington Hill in Oxford without getting off with these knees that had been so severely damaged. But it was her persistence of just keep asking in faith, and us praying in faith, that we wanted God to do that, and it'd be nice if he did it in one go. But as long as something was happening every time, we were taking ground. And I think, it's just reiterating, really, or re-emphasising what Mary said, we just need to keep going on it, so we keep taking ground. And we do have an example of Jesus, don't we, with praying twice. The man who was blind, pray for you, what do you see? Oh, I can see men, but they look like trees walking. Okay, let's pray again. Pray again, yeah, now I see all things clearly. Now, I wonder whether that one was put in there because to teach us something, to keep going. Well, we don't know what the reason was. All we know is it happened. And it happened with Jesus, and it's an example to us just to keep praying and not giving up. And, sometimes we can get we pray for something, like a gift of healing comes, and we just come with, and we pray for something, and instantly it happens, but other times we just keep going. But with all these gifts, it is important to keep using them. I know. You know, when someone, you give someone a gift at Christmas or birthday, and they use it, and they say, that present you gave has been so useful, or I so enjoyed it, or whatever, I think, as the giver, it makes you think, yeah, great, I could have been right that time. But it's when the gift isn't used, or isn't appreciated, as the giver, you think, well, then we'll not bother giving them anything again. You know, it sort of closes your heart up a bit. A friend of ours, they had her mother staying with them for years, a very elderly and somewhat frail lady. But this old lady would get gifts at Christmas, and she would unwrap
the paper a bit, feeling like, oh yeah, very nice, pair of gloves or whatever it was, wrap it up again and put it under the bed. And this went on for ages, so when she died, they found under the bed were all these past Christmas presents still in the wrapping paper. You think, what a tragedy. Say something's been given that never even been opened, much less not even used. But I think we can be like that with these, not just these gifts we've been looking for, all these gifts God gives to us. Either we never recognise that they're there, or we don't even bother to unwrap them or pick them up and begin to use them. And it just sort of changes the picture slightly from our four keys. But having been given something, it's available. God wants us to take hold of it, get the wrapping paper up and begin to use it, begin to see what it feels like. And I think too that because we're all individuals, we've all got, the basis of our relationship with God is the same for all of us, but the way that relationship works out is different for each one of us. So we've got a different relationship, say with Reuben, than we have with little Daniel in Hong Kong, who we shall see on Wednesday. Because they're different personalities.
And he loves me more.
And what?
Loves me more.
So, it's the same with all. We've all got the relationship with him. We're all children of the living God. But the way that relationship works out and the style of communication depends on our personality and our background, and there's an individualism about that. And so the way we hear from God is different. I was a friend of mine. If he wants to hear from God, he always gets a scripture. God speaks into it. It doesn't work for me like that. You know, I get some, I thought, oh, it's probably, Hezekiah chapter 6, verse 3. Then I find there's no Hezekiah book in the Bible. But I don't, God doesn't speak to me in that way. He always speaks to David that way. In other sorts of ways, it tends to be impressions and that sort of thing. So, as we start to use these things, we get used to the way that God speaks to us. As we use the gifts, we get to feel how he works with us. Mary's got this black-handled knife. She used it whenever we go off in our caravan. She said, oh, I need my black-handled knife in the caravan. So we have got some knives in the caravan that are better than that one, and they've got black handles. What's the issue? But she knows what this knife feels like in her hand. It's a familiar old knife. And she...
It's
very drawn to her, black and white. Do you know what it is? You know, a workman likes his own tools, his saw, his hammer, because he knows how it feels in his hand. He knows the balance of the tool, so he can use it skillfully. And as we use these gifts, we know what prophecy feels like when we minister it. We know if we're praying for people for healing, how it works, how God works through us with that. But the more we use it, the more we get a feel of how it feels in our hands, so we can probably use it more skillfully. And we're still moving by faith, of course. Do you see what I'm saying there? So it, this thing of develop, of practicing, of using, is really important if we're going to be increasingly effective in letting God work through us and minister to others. And it's just such an incredible blessing to other people when we do that. You were about to say something.
No, I won't. Are you finished?
Yeah, come.
Okay. Because the thing is, as we move on, we get more faith on certain issues. So, Ruth, come here and just tell us, when you went to that meeting in, wherever it was near you, and God really touched you and your...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Yeah.
Chuck Parry.
Chuck Parry was there from Bethel. He started where we are.
That's it. We've all heard the story, right?
Have you all heard the story?
Well,
you?
Some of them have.
Because
we were there. So
all right. And so, you know, we've been praying for Ruben Stomach and all of us after, I think, for a long time. But he goes there to a guy who started like this. He's got to have started in a way where he was just stepping out and he was pushing away, and he probably told you his own story, what happened. But then his faith, you know, engenders faith. And so What happened that day?
It started off, he was going through all these lessons that you can pray for healing and other bits and all sorts of doing crazy stories about people in pain elevators and coming out being free from all pain in their body. And it was pretty crazy. And then he asked us to get with someone near us and just pray with them. And I was with this lady in a massive wheelchair, don't know her name, but she was, I don't think she'd ever really been to anything like that before, but when I was praying she said, okay right, I need you to stop now and I want to pray for you. So she started praying and then this other lady came over, and they're praying for me, and all of a sudden, just there's this wash of what felt like really minty mouthwash going through like my gut and my intestines or whatever. And it felt really weird and like, I don't know, it just all felt like renewed and fresh. Like after you brush your teeth or something, it all feels cold when you breathe and I don't know, yeah. Felt strange, but from then I've been doing really well.
Yeah.
So lady in a wheelchair prayed for you.
Uh-huh.
And you know, can I just say something?
Yeah.
That lady in a wheelchair, you know, she got healed the next night, and she's been in that wheelchair for years. I mean, loads of people there from her church, they could not believe it. I mean, she just got prayed for and she did it. And they walked, and that was it. And they were just totally amazed what they had it.
Yeah. Well, so in giving, we receive. Yeah. You know, who knows? She gave to Ruby.
Yeah.
She received. You know, and we want to leave you with that attitude. That just keep giving. Because as Jeff said, the little bits. When I'm in a cafe and I'm with somebody and there's a particular cafe because it's plenty of room and you're not next to it and we're talking and they say, well, I've got a pen, I'd like you to pray. And, you know, it's just, you know, and just pray. I don't know if it's no big prayer or anything. Because, why? Because I want to move forward. I want to see them healed. But I want to move forward. And so therefore, you know, I'm on this journey, and I may not, you know, I may be like this guy, whatever his name is, at all. But he's on a journey, and if we don't keep going on the journey, you know, I'm just getting lazy. You know, I think, oh yeah, well I could pray, but I won't. But if we've got that, you know, I want this. I want to be able to help you. I mean, I long for going down the street, don't you? And you see somebody and you chat with them and you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed and they're healed. You know, the guys on the steps when Peter and John went up to the temple. I haven't got much, but what I have, in the name of Jesus, walk. And, I long for that. And I think deep down we all do. But we don't like these first steps. You know, it's like kids walking, isn't it? We don't say to them as a parent, you know, you've fallen over, you'll never be able to walk. When they're that age, we think, come on, another step. You've done two, let's see if you can do three, four, five. Let's get this going. And so, you know, if we have that in our hearts, you know, that we want to develop and we want to move forward, then we've got to step out beyond our comfort zone just to be able to keep going. And if our heart is of love, as we've just started this thing, the gift, the chapter 13, when he's talking about the gift, is about love. So if our heart is to bless and not for our, let's see what I'm going to be like, if it's to bless the other person, we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. So let us pray to finish.
Dear Father, we thank you that you are such a loving, gracious, heavenly Father. Father, we thank you that you know what we're like.
We remember that we're dust, we've got our frailties and our failings, but you want to know us, you want to see us to know you, to know your voice, to walk in your ways. We thank you for you're a giving God, that you make these things of the divine available to you, these gifts, these means of blessing others, of helping them to touch something of the power and reality of the risen Christ. And Lord, I pray that you keep giving us a prod, Lord. They might be tacky little keys, but they do represent something crucial. To desire, to dare, to discern, and to develop. Would you help us, Lord, to keep picking up those keys and putting them in the lock and opening up to us, Lord. Help us to open up to whole new dimensions of moving by your Holy Spirit, that we might be increasingly living to the praise of your glory. Lord, we sang that song last night. Our Father in heaven, on earth as in heaven. Lord, that's what we want. On earth as in heaven. Father, help us to be amongst those who usher in more of the kingdom into the lives of more people. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good. Anybody has missed a key?